listening to California Dreamin' with your hosts Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.
Yes, it's Sam and Manu.
You know what? I just realized that he actually pronounces my name correctly.
That's true. He
does. You know how many people just like, you know, because
they say Manu instead of Manu?
Manu.
Manu?
Or
Manu.
Or something like that. Manu, okay. Yeah.
Manu. Sounds like man boobs.
Well, no, we've got the man bra for yeah, the man boobs.
Yeah, but you have a very unique and appealing name, because there's not that many. I mean, you could go by just by your first name and be famous that way, like
yeah,
Madonna.
That's true.
And
yeah, that's true. I just might well do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, the last name won't matter because there's only one Manu in the world.
But I like my last name too.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
Manu Toigo.
Yes.
I don't know. So how did you, how was yesterday for you after yesterday's show?
I enjoyed yesterday's show. In fact, I listened to it later on last night, and I was extremely tired, you know, and I had to go to sleep, but it was just so compelling,
right.
You know, that I just had to finish listening to it. You know, it was just amazing, and we got a lot of response, you know, people identifying with us and not understanding why we've been singled out like that. And you know, I'm sort of like gonna put it behind us now. I think we beat it to death, and I think we got a point across, and that's what matters, you know. So if anybody else wishes to attack us,
go right ahead. We'll always forgive you.
Yeah, and we welcome you. You know, give us some good radio.
The power of forgiveness. We forgive you, Dr. Bell.
Here
no,
we
I really
go.
Want to meet him, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he'll come down and meet us one day. Who knows?
Yeah, because I did some more, you know, research on him. You mm-hmm. know, just like all his various websites and everything like that.
Yeah.
And because I know that you don't follow UFOs and stuff, I do.
Okay.
You know, so in that side of things, it's appealing to me.
Yeah. So you think he's prominent in that field?
I would believe so. I mean, I don't know what his work involved with NASA was and so on, and what he's doing these days. I know that he's referred to the Palladians, which among, you know, scientists or, you know, who are investigating UFOs and extraterrestrials are very well aware of, you know, alongside of the Greys. And alongside of the reptilians.
Yeah.
Now, the reptilians are the ones that you need to stay away from.
I see. Okay, well, it sounds like it. If I saw a reptilian, believe me, I'm running the other direction.
You need to. They're the nasty ones. They're the unkind ones. But the Palladians and the great, the Palladians are more the more peaceful that that come to us in human form.
Right.
But the Greys come in as Greys, you know,
I
the
see.
Tall, gray-looking men.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So next time when I see one, I'll know where to categorize it.
Yes. Yeah. You're a reptilian.
Yeah.
I'm running.
Okay, so you stick to your UFOs.
Yeah, I know. Oh, my gosh. So anyways, I don't know. I've been reading a lot of junk about Bush and what he's been up to and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I mean, he's in Africa now, but I don't know whether you're aware of it, but he canceled his trip to Africa because the Visor Act was coming to expire.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he was all in fear.
Uh-huh.
You know, of not having it vetoed or not having it passed through Congress again.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted to make sure that he could veto the bill.
Yeah.
Now,
well, we can't let him let that pass, according to Bush, of course.
Well, no, of course, because terrorists will come and attack us and all this kind of shit. I mean, ever since 2001, we've never had a terrorist attack. We've never had any form of communications via terrorists within the U.S. or anything like that. And
but that's not to say that they haven't tried, you know. I'm sure many of them were foiled, you know, by the CIA, whoever it is. So, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, we only hear about when they actually, when there's actually an attack. We don't hear about the times when they stop them, you know. They stop those attacks. And
Have you heard about the attacks? What, supposedly there have been attacks?
No, but
but that's the point.
No, but the point is that you would expect there to be a lot more terrorist acts than there are, you know. And I think if they're being stopped, somebody's doing their job correctly, you know. Because I mean, you know, if they had the opportunity, they would bomb us tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, there are so many lawsuits going out now to the telecom companies and so on because of wiretapping and so on.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it takes away, you know, what our constitutional law allows us to be free speech, freedom in the country,
right,
and so on.
Yeah.
And yet U.S. citizens are being terrorized by our own government.
Yeah, well, it depends how you look at it. You know, I mean, the thing is this, is that sometimes I think national security supersedes civil rights.
I know. But, you know, but his thing is vetoing, and now he's trying to pass, you know, the law that gives immunity to all these, you know, telecom communication companies and so on, so that no lawsuits can be played.
Okay. Well, who cares? I don't care anything about Bush. I really don't. Let him just leave gracefully January 21st or the 20th.
Now, and he's a monkey.
Without a microphone, right?
Exactly. No, he doesn't need a microphone, that dude. I'm telling you.
I think people actually like that banner on BBS Radio with the monkeys and the microphones. But regardless of what it is, you know that our traffic has been doubling every week.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had... we had quite a few people come to the site yesterday and listening to our show, listening to all the other shows.
Yeah, I know.
And we're growing. We're growing. You know, we get more hosts, more shows. It's going to be a place where you can hang out 24 hours a day, pretty much.
Yeah.
Not that you'd want to, but...
Soon. No, Sam, you don't get enough sleep as it is.
No, I don't. Now, what the big news with Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, no.
Yeah?
Yeah, I
She's
saw
got
that.
Nude pictures in the New Yorker magazine.
No, no, they're not completely nude.
Well, yeah, but they're
just
pretty...
her,
well, let's put
covered,
it this
covered
way.
Covered with shears.
Right, but you can see through it. I mean, on the internet, in one of the legitimate sites, they actually covered her chest, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because you could actually see it?
Yeah, you probably can see through it.
Well,
so,
she has to do something now that she's unemployed in the film business.
Yeah, and so she, those pictures apparently are a tribute to Marilyn Monroe, and she looks a lot like it. Her hair is the same. It's blonde, and she strikes similar poses, you know. And so obviously this is like a big deal, you know, Lindsay Lohan. You know, I think she's overrated. I really do, you know.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, she
she's
does.
Not interesting. She's not that pretty, I don't think. You know, she's got maybe a great body, but but her face is not that great, you know.
No, no, not at all. But at least they've got something in common, alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
And partying.
In common with who?
Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, apparently when Marilyn died, she was she died of overdose. You know, similar to Heath Ledger. But they attributed that to suicide. You know, so so officially Marilyn committed suicide. And that's so friggin' sad, you know. I mean, people become like so prominent and so recognized and successful, and then they just take their own lives, you know.
Yeah.
And again, going back to the fact that I think people cannot handle fame. It's just, it's thrust on you one day out of nowhere, and you just don't know how to handle it, you
yeah.
know. I mean, suddenly everybody wants to be around you, and everybody wants to
be your friend.
Be your friend, and you know, and you don't know who's genuine and who's not.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
I know. Well, speaking of drugs and alcohol and so on, I watched an interesting...
Don't we always?
Yeah, yeah. I watched an interesting documentary last night. Scientists and laboratorists? Mm-hmm. Laboratorists? No, what's the word?
I'm not attempting that.
Laboratorists. From the UK have been studying for the last 10 years, actually, about the most... the 20 most harmful drugs in the UK. Well, the studies were done in the UK, and they finally came out with it.
Yeah, I can probably tell you what it is, but
No, no. Well,
let's hear. It's interesting.
Well, ironically enough, I only just wrote down a few, only because this is something that I think every one of us, you know, probably.
And I would probably get it all wrong. Yeah. So I'm really anxious to hear that. Let's.
But
see.
Actually, the number 20.
Like, are we going to go through all 20?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
No, so no, 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 no.
Okay. You can tell my attention span.
Yeah. Number 20, believe it or not, is ecstasy. It's the least harmful drug.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
And yet in the community, it's, you know, it's supposed to be like no way, people deaths and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Apparently there's only been accounted, I think, like 20 deaths per year, and has been found that those deaths were involved more over dehydration as a result rather than the ecstasy.
Because, it does, you know, it makes you want to drink a lot.
Yeah.
And I remember I only did it once.
Yeah.
And when I was in South Africa, and that was like a rave, you know, that's where you usually do this. And I did it. You know what? And it did nothing for me other than make me go pee every 5 minutes, you know, because I was drinking so much. I had like Gatorade and all that. And because you get really thirsty. And that was the first time I'd done, I'd taken it, so I didn't know what to expect. And here I am, like, not enjoying the rave because I have to pee every 5 minutes. And I mean a lot of pee.
Well, I've taken ecstasy, and I think I felt the same way. I was just like, well, what is this all about? Yeah. And, I felt, like, the need to drink a lot more.
So people get dehydrated from it and die?
Dehydrated, and that's why they die.
Really?
Not from the drug, but from dehydration.
Yeah, well, wouldn't you? I mean, if you were thirsty, wouldn't you just reach out and drink something? I mean,
well, some of them are idiots, you know, obviously. They're young kids most of the time, and they have been recognized that the ones who have died have been under the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course,
those are the biggest drug abusers, you know, usually when they're young.
Yeah, well, you know, for whatever reason. But anyway, at number 9 is cigarettes.
Number 9 is cigarettes.
Number 9 is cigarettes.
Thank you. Did I have to hear that?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And so, but in the UK alone, there is 160,000 deaths per year.
Wow.
So
that's from what? From cigarettes?
From cigarettes.
160?
And it has been classed A as the most, along classed A, along with heroin and cocaine.
Really?
As being the most addictive drug.
Right.
Can you believe
it? I believe it. I believe it. It's harder for me to quit now than it used to be. You know, I mean, I've quit several times in my life, and I went like for a few years without it.
Yes.
And then, you know, I think this is just like with alcohol or drugs, you know, it's like once you're a user, you're always a user, even if you stop.
Yeah.
You know, you're always an addict in your mind, and it's a battle, you know. And so that's the same with cigarettes for me. It's like even when I wasn't a smoker, I was a potential smoker again, you know. And so you always have to work at it. If you're quitting something, it's a lifetime thing.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, I can imagine.
Yeah. It's not like you quit, you go to rehab, you quit, you go to 12-step programs, and then you're okay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you've got to work at it every day of your life. And I mean, I've heard people, you know, that have not had a drink in 20 years, but they still refer to themselves as alcoholics.
Because they're always wanting to it's always
it's
a battle.
There. Yeah, they know it's
always,
there.
Yeah.
The seed is there, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a question of if you let it out again, then you'll go back to it.
Go back right to it, yeah. Well, speaking of alcohol is number 5.
Number 5.
Number 5 in the top 5
of
The worst drugs that you could ever, you know, encounter.
I'm not surprised.
Well, you know, back...
alcohol can be pretty brutal, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you... I don't like getting drunk, but I remember the times that I did, I hated it, you know. I hated it. It just didn't... I don't know. I can't enjoy the buzz of alcohol.
Yeah. Well, they figured out that binge drinking, you know, those who don't drink during the week, but then they go out on the weekends and, like, drink the hell out of themselves, that's actually worse for you versus having a drink every day.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, because you're putting it all at once.
Yeah, because it affects the brain. It really...
Yeah, it's like a
puts
shock
your body
to the
through
system.
A shock system. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And if alcohol was introduced as a new beverage or a new drug today, it would be completely illegal.
Really?
Yes,
you don't
totally.
You don't think they'd pass a law now?
No. That's what they were stating, because of the, you know, what it does to the body and to the brain so on.
People are not going to let go of their alcohol. I mean, you remember the prohibition period when it was outlawed and people were drinking.
That's what I was. It was outlawed at one time, wasn't it?
So back people in the were 19... making their own. Yeah, in the
was
30s.
It the early
in 20s, 30s.
20s and 30s? Yeah. I knew it because I've got it written down here. 20s and 30s. It was illegal. So they used to have like the back rooms, just like the underground casinos.
Yeah, they'd
so
make their
on.
Own whiskey and wine and things like that.
And marijuana, that was around the middle, kind of like in the last 10. I can't remember the name. I think it was number 13.
Was it?
Believe it or not. Yeah. 13.
Yeah, I don't think many people die of that. I think mainly it's because of lung cancer or something you would get from it.
One death was recorded from marijuana, and the person was a known schizophrenic.
I see.
So the reason why it's up there at number 13, I think it is because there are people who have schizophrenia and something like that, and the drug can really freak them out.
Yeah, I suppose.
And cause, you know, little dilemmas.
Yeah.
But now, unfortunately, they are starting to link it to lung cancer.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it...
Darn it.
Yeah, I mean, it is... No, it is related. I mean, it definitely, when it does feel like you're smoking a whole pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
You know, after you take a few hits, it's hard on the lungs, you know.
I know. It's always funny when you pass a joint around and everyone's like, ugh.
I know. Everybody starts coughing like crazy. I know. And then the munchies start going around the room. So what are the top three? Let's hear the top three most lethal drugs in the UK.
The number one is heroin.
Okay, I guess that's not surprising.
That's not
right?
surprising. Number two is cocaine.
Uh huh.
And number three is speed.
Really?
Yes.
So all of them are stuff that's being made in the laboratory, and it's not anything natural. It's not like pot is natural stuff. You know? So it doesn't really make you sick or kill you.
No.
You know, but it doesn't matter. You can smoke a whole bag. You're not going to die. You might freak out or something.
Well, in the first 10, believe it or not, two FDA drugs, approved drugs, Ritalin, you know, for ADD people, and I think another one is for insomnia or something like that, another drug. Yeah. I can't remember the name of it.
Ambien or something?
No, not Ambien. Mm-hmm. It had some other peculiar name.
Okay.
But they're in the top 10.
Yeah.
They're in the top 10 most dangerous, because if you overdose on them, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You're absolutely screwed.
Yeah. Well, stay away from drugs.
Yeah. And FDA drugs.
Yeah.
Because they'll kill you too.
Yeah. Yeah, anything you put in your body, there's a price to pay. There always is.
I agree.
Yeah. The big news today is Fidel Castro resigned. You know, and I didn't even know that. Yeah, this is a day that I think people in the West have been waiting for what, 40, 50 years?
Yeah.
And because he cites health conditions. And he has been sick for a while, you know.
Yes,
but he's one of those dictators that don't seem to ever die, you know. And that seems to be the case with dictators. They just don't die, you know. They stay there forever. And they don't want to go anywhere. So, who knows what's going to happen now. I mean, I'm wondering if there's really going to be a big change in Cuba. Or, unless his followers take over, it could very well stay the same.
I don't know.
You know.
Well, we'll keep tabs on that one, I think.
Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen there? I mean, there it's pretty stable, so I don't think there's going to be anything like riots
Cuba has become a very self-sufficient country.
Right.
Totally self-supporting, their own fuels. They basically live off the earth and what they cultivate and what they produce within Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what makes them flourish so much.
Yeah. Plus I imagine they always find rogue states to sell them things and buy things from them. You know, I mean, they always seem to find each other, all these assholes, you know.
Oh my god.
So it's an overcast day. I'm sorry.
It
but
is.
It's really overcast today, and they're predicting rain, actually. So I don't know if there's going to be rain or not, but We definitely do not have the normal sunny day in California today.
No, we
Southern
don't.
Southern California.
I woke up and I was like, whoa, what happened?
Yeah, it suddenly changed. And we could still use a little more winter, right? What's so fucking funny?
No, because yesterday there was a sunshine, but this big dark cloud was hanging out there.
Yeah.
It's like, well, look at all that pollution. Like, well, look at this, you know.
I know. Yeah, we're on the 36th floor downtown LA, for those who don't know. And we literally are on top of the world.
Yeah.
And it's a great feeling.
When I'm walking up, I keep thinking, it's like, wonder where we are up there. I try and count the floors, but I always lose track.
Yeah.
You know.
You mean on the tall buildings out there?
Well,
yeah.
No, we should have a little banner in our window here, like, we are here.
Yeah.
Hey, that's kind of cool.
And like people will really see it, right? Only if they fly on the helicopter or something.
I know. Yeah. Hey, there must be something going on down at the Superior Courts this morning.
Really?
Yeah, because when I drove past this morning, there were like cop cars everywhere.
That must
they
be
had
Brittany. She's going to court today for the custody.
She's going to court? Oh,
I wonder
figured
if that's
something
what that
like
is.
That. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, if there's a lot of people, it's somebody famous, obviously.
Well,
did
had
you see reporters and stuff like that?
Yeah, I saw the news vans and a whole bunch of cop cars. Yeah. And, you know, they had half the street, you know, blocked off.
Right.
You know, obviously for the limo to show
I'll
up or whatever.
I'll bet you that's Britney. I'll bet
you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's go raid the place.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just leave the show. Walk down to the courthouse and watch Britney.
I know, I'm always curious. You know, every Monday when we come in, it must be the day for all the stragglers to go to court.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, sometimes I'll take a different... I deliberately take a different route on Monday because I go to the front of the courthouse.
Uh-huh.
And you'll see this massive big line of people, you know, waiting to go into the courthouse when the doors open.
Uh-huh.
And all of them. You see them all in their suits and pretty outfits and all dressed up so they could see the judge and like, you are guilty.
You know, that's terrible, you know, but...
I've been there.
What are you going to do? Yeah.
I have been there a couple of times. Darn it.
So, I tell you what, let's take a break.
Mm-hmm.
Take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this.
No worries.
Dreams by Rainbow. Good song, huh?
Well, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
It's got a good beat to it.
And then I learned a little bit of history there. Richie, no, what's his name again?
Okay, the Rainbow was
Rainbow.
A group founded in the 70s by Richie Blackmore, who was the guitar player.
Player for Deep Purple.
Very good.
Yeah.
You see? And they've had some good songs. They didn't last very long, but they've had some great songs, and this is definitely my favorite.
Hey, I wonder if Black Sabbath will ever come make a comeback.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Without Ozzy, I don't know if it's going to happen. But
yeah, he's looking like a bit of a mess, isn't
he? Yeah, I don't know. But he's still cool, you know. He sometimes comes on Howard Stern's show, and it's a blast. I mean, just to watch him. I mean, you just look at him and you laugh, you know. And then when he opens his mouth, that's like a riot, you know. He still talks like the drug induced.
Yeah, but when he sings perfectly normal.
Yeah, he does.
It's like his brain can't really function.
Yeah.
You know, when he's just speaking, like my God, how does this guy sing?
Yeah.
And then when he does sing, it's all like fluent.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like an instrument. I mean, the voice when you sing is an instrument, you know, and obviously it's the hardest one to play. But you know, it's fun, you know, to record music is a lot of fun. You know, I've recorded a couple songs and you just go in the booth and the music plays and then you can just start singing from the middle, from the end and that. So it's really exciting, you know, and if you love to sing, it's definitely, and it's no karaoke when you go into the studio, you know. I mean, it's a different ball game.
That's all I've ever tried is karaoke.
Yeah, but it's fun. We should go sometime, you know. I mean, I used to do karaoke all the time.
You know, the first song that I sang karaoke for, what was that song? Oh, yeah. I'm a Creep. I'm a weirdo.
You are, Manu. You are a weirdo.
I don't know how it sounded, but I thought I sounded fantastic.
Yeah. Don't we always, you know?
with a few alcoholic beverages down.
Yeah, when you don't have a microphone and headphones, you always sound perfect.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
So, anyways, over the weekend on Sunday, I'm pretty sure everyone's probably aware of this by now, but we had an LAX joker who blurted out, "I have explosives in my check-in bags," and of course, whole of LAX was evacuated for over two hours.
Really?
Yeah.
And LAX, of course, to those who don't live in LA, that's our airport.
That's our main airport.
Main airport.
Our main airport.
Yeah. So what did they do there? I mean, what happened there?
He was going through, you know, like going to board the plane and something like that.
Through
and
then, security?
Yeah, through security.
Right.
And he just, like, said, "I've got explosives in my check-in bag." Like that.
Just like that.
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah.
And so...
So they stopped everything.
They stopped everything, right? Uh-huh. And like, what an idiot. I mean, seriously, what an idiot. So it caused a mass evacuation of the entire LAX.
Really?
The entire LAX for just
over
2 hours.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine evacuating that building?
Now, his name hasn't been disclosed, so he's probably going ahead with waterboarding right now. Tell us the truth.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a serious charge. I mean, he's going to sit in there for a while.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was like, what an idiot. What are you thinking?
Yeah.
But it hasn't been disclosed where he's from or where he was coming from or who he is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess that information will be revealed after some waterboarding.
Yeah, well, they'll have his balls on the plate.
No kidding. What an idiot.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, but he could end up with one of these prisoners. I don't know. The state of California alone, right, has paid $668,000, just over $668,000 in legal settlements between 2000 and 2004, a total of 354 inmates. Now, if you do the math there, all these inmates are going to get a little chunk of cash.
Yeah.
For this reason.
Uh-huh.
They weren't released on time in accordance to their good behavior release time.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, they got good. They got an early release based on good behavior, but they were not actually released on the day they were told they would be.
Well, you know how you go to the courts. I've been to the courts before when someone says, like, I'm giving you 16 years, 4 years good behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So a person's been sentenced for 16 years, but if he's behaving good in 4 years, he can be released.
Right.
So this is what's happening.
Okay. So they're not letting them out.
They haven't been letting them out.
Can you imagine how terrible that must be? I mean, you sit there for 5-10 years. You know, and then they let you. They tell you we're going to let you go, and then they don't.
Yeah, yeah. They behave really good for, you know, 2 years or 4 years, and it's like, okay, I've been a good little boy. A good little boy.
Yeah, I know. And then he just gets a slap in the face, you know. But, you know, I mean, doesn't it scare you, the thought of being in prison?
Yeah. Well, probably not so much a woman. You know what? But I've heard... I've heard that female prisons can be quite brutal as well.
Yeah.
Quite brutal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, just imagine who goes in there. You know, I mean, in order to sit in jail, especially for violence or something serious.
Yeah.
You know, what are you laughing about?
I had the most horrific visual thought there that I dare not repeat.
Yeah. Like probably being violated by someone, right?
You know, like...
Yeah. I know. I know. It's called fisting. But he was doing gestures in here. On the air, it translates to fisting.
Oh, my God.
Well, people actually do that for pleasure, you know?
I know.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it just my skin crawls when I think of prison. You know, it just I don't think I would last 5 minutes in there. I would just like find the rope and hang myself. You know, there's just no hope. I don't care if I had to get out 5-10 days later. There's no way I would last that.
Yeah.
You know, so we gotta stay good citizens, Manu.
I wonder if Paris Hilton was afraid. He's like, oh my God, I'm going to get fisted.
Yeah. Maybe not the first thing on her mind when she went into prison.
My poor little virgin vagina.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm sure she'd have people fighting over her in there.
Oh yeah, yeah. She's such a pretty
but
little
the,
thing.
Didn't they put her in isolation, like by herself?
Yeah, they did.
So people wouldn't get to her and stuff. Yeah,
yeah. That's right.
Yeah, you see, even in prison, those celebrities get special treatment. <you know?
laughs> I was so cold. I was so afraid.
Yeah.
I lost so much weight.
I know. That was a good thing for her to go in for a while. You know, sort of like help her ground herself to reality. She's definitely not...
It didn't stop her from not helping her brother out of prison.
Is he still in prison, do you know?
No. He was bailed out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. But that was funny.
That family is disgraceful.
Hell no, bro. I'm going to Vegas.
Yeah.
And there's pictures of her dancing away. Woohoo!
Yeah. We haven't heard from her in a couple of days.
No, we haven't, huh? Yeah. Oh, no. Her sister has her own house. What's her sister's name? I can't remember. Well, her younger sister or older sister?
She's her younger sister.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well,
I forgot her name, too.
Yeah, apparently she banned Paris from coming to
Isn't
her house.
Isn't it Nikki Hilton?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Nikki Hilton. Uh-huh. Banned Paris from coming to her house. I wonder why.
Really?
Yeah, I need to read into that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean her sister won't let her come to her house?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like sister feud.
Really? Jeez. They seem to be pretty close to me, but, you know, what do we know?
Hey, you never know.
You never know.
Never
you
know what's going on in Hollywood.
Yeah. So, you know, I was still trying to figure out what that caller to Dr. Bell's show meant about looking at our site and it
in
being disgusting.
Finding it disgusting.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
don't know.
What did he see there? You know, that it's like I can't get that out of my mind. You know,
I don't know.
I mean, just to say disgusting for the sake of saying that, you know, I mean, it affects other people.
It was like it was being referred to as a porn site.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my God, you know, if you were to listen to that show, you would think that.
Well, that's kind of like what I pictured in my mind. It's
yeah.
Like, what? What's so disgusting about our site? Well, we look like monkeys.
Yeah. We look like monkeys, yeah. We wanted to remind you, we haven't asked anybody to call, so the phone's not been ringing. Feel free to call us, talk about anything. The number is 866-515-6977. And, you know, which reminds me yesterday, I don't know if you listened to Johnny Dam's show yesterday. But
no.
they got a caller, and that woman was responding to an ad that I had put on Craigslist, you know, for hosts and guests and stuff.
Yeah.
So she thought she was actually calling the office, and Johnny tells her, oh, you're on the air. And she's like, no, I'm not. You're kidding me, you know. So and he kept saying, you're on the air. And she's like, no, you know. Now, she had a heavy accent. I think she said she was Iranian, right? And she was in the country, I think, temporarily or something. And,
right.
And apparently legally. But she had a lot to say about illegal immigrants. I mean, that was just amazing. That was incredible radio, and I just couldn't stop listening, you know.
Oh, really?
And yeah, I mean, she was talking about, you know, you Americans are so nice, and you're too nice, and you're letting all these people into your country, and you know, and all that stuff, and they're ruining your country, and blah blah blah. I mean, it was like so fascinating to hear somebody that doesn't live here,
right,
that feels that way.
Yeah.
You know. And she had a whole story about she came here for paintings that were taken away from her or something like that. And But it was just so live radio, you know, so like spontaneous that I just loved it. You know, it was just a thing where she never planned on calling a radio show. And then suddenly she's on the air. And I think unless she listened to the show later, she probably still thinks she wasn't on the air.
Oh, wow.
You know, and she's like, no, a lot of people are just listening to me. My English is no good, blah, blah, blah. But she had incredible English. Yes, she had an accent, but she was very articulate.
Yeah?
Yeah, very. So so that was on Johnny Dam's show, and you definitely want to catch that show at 2 o'clock every day Pacific time. He has a lot of fun.
Yeah.
He has a lot of fun, yeah.
Well, actually, I should check in on that one.
Yeah, yeah. All our shows are great, you know. I mean, I'm still in awe of the fact that we have such great talent on the station.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody just gets such positive response, you know, that it's all worth it. You know, it makes it worth it.
Yeah.
When people like what you do.
Well, I got a surprise last night. I became a guest on a talk show on BBS Radio.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let's hear about that. That's our sister station.
Yeah, that is our sister station. The station that Dr. Bell works from has been there since, you know, day one.
Right.
But anyways, the host for this show, his name is Tyler, which does his show out of Canada.
Oh.
And then it was more like a three-way, you know, phone call between me, Tyler, and Doug.
Doug Newsom?
Yeah, Doug Newsom.
Yes.
And
one of the founders of BBS Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tyler, I have met Tyler once, a couple of times actually.
Yes.
And he's like a very appealing young man.
Right.
And he is a young man, but so incredibly spiritual.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's spiritual.
So we got onto, you know, the spiritual, you know, roller coaster and so on, and like what's spiritual to you and so on, and this and that. So I spent a whole hour on air last night talking about spirituality and
really,
you know, what I do to help myself, and you know, what I determine as being spiritual and so on.
Uh-huh.
And of course Doug, you know, puts his input and makes it comedic, and poor old Tyler's like,
yeah, he's
no.
very funny. Yeah.
So oh, Doug will turn it into a comedy.
Yeah. So did you learn anything new about spirituality you didn't know before?
No. Just no. I think I'm pretty into it, you know. I think I'm walking along the right path.
Are you?
Yeah.
Good.
I don't walk around damning everybody.
Yeah. Do you believe in reincarnation?
Yeah.
Do you believe in the soul? That we have a soul?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yes, I do.
Okay, because sometimes people believe in the soul, but they don't believe in reincarnation, or vice versa. But the thing is, it can't work without a soul.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that makes sense.
Because obviously your body does not come back.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, but you know, I mean, what's weird is that, you know, I was thinking about it one time, in that a good reason to just always be kind and good to people is because you never know who you're talking to. I mean, you know, this woman that you get pissed off at on the street could have been your mother in a previous life, you know? And then you're assaulting your mother, you know? So so I think, yeah, I mean, when you think of everything as one, you know, then, you know, that you realize that it's really just an illusion that we're all separate, you
yeah.
know? And we're all connected in one way or another. I don't think it's a secret, you know?
No, I believe that.
But there's a lot of separation between people.
Yeah, well, I mean, people are so, you know, consumed with their own life dilemma and everything like that, and their ego has been affected by life, you know, their life beings, like not being able to pay bills, you know, hating their jobs and so on. So you've got a lot of unhappy people walking around.
Yeah.
And so with that unhappy people, they project that on other people surrounding them.
Yeah.
So next thing, you've got this big, you know, vicious circle of unhappy people.
Yeah.
So you know what, I was explaining this on the show last night,
uh-huh.
you know, about the ability, you know, your own ego projecting it upon, you know, onto other people.
Right.
And so how you feel, you can project it so easily on someone else. It's unbelievable. Right. So then what I have been doing, Sam, mm-hmm. is when I do walk up and down here and so on, I always try and get their eye contact, because a lot of people are so afraid to have that eye contact.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, good morning, how are you?
Yeah.
You know, and I give this big gleaming smile in the hope that they will start projecting that, and it's like a vision. You know what I mean? Like
I don't work that hard. You know, if they're not looking at me, I don't acknowledge them.
Really?
Know? I don't say hi to someone who's not looking at me, no.
No, I do.
Yeah, well, it's kind of
weird. I deliberately do it.
Yeah, I know.
Like, hello,
well,
good
so
morning.
Well, you're so nice, you know. You're sickeningly nice sometimes.
Yeah, well, it's worked against me, trust me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It has, huh?
But it's like, oh, well, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, a lot of people mistake goodness for, or kindness for weakness, you know.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's sad, because, you know, people equate, you know, toughness with just being cool and you know, and disconnected and detached from everything.
Yeah, we need to smile.
Yeah, yeah. There needs to be a lot more smiling in the world.
That incident, this effect working against you. I was on the subway, and I was just standing there with my boyfriend at the pole, and I was watching this man, probably middle-aged man, and he's like, rocking back and forth, and you could tell he was just like really angry inside, and it's like, well, this guy's had a bad day. And so I was just kept on looking at him, and I was waiting for him to just glance up at me and for me to smile at him.
Yeah.
And I was like, hello, because I'm a friendly face and, an attractive woman, and I thought it might make his day.
Yeah.
Well, boy, it was the wrong thing to do.
Really?
When he did look up and stare at me, he just stared at me, gleaming eyed.
Yeah, like, how dare you?
And then he's just like, what the fuck are you looking at? What, you haven't seen, bleeding man before? And I hadn't even noticed that he was actually bleeding from his arm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't even notice. Yeah. Because I was just seeing something different.
Yeah.
And
well, stop being too nice, because it's going to
cost you one day. I actually thought, it was like, whoa, okay, this can be quite dangerous. And so fortunately, at the very next stop, he got off. But if he didn't get off, William and I were going to get off, because it was becoming very, confronting.
I know, it's like, it's such a weird situation to be in a subway. And especially you go to New York and everybody takes the subway. And it's just, you go in those tunnels, like underground stations.
Yeah.
And it's just, it stinks, it's dirty, there's a lot of people, it's old, and it's just like a depressing thing, And I mean, as a tourist, I kind of take it in and enjoy it. But if I had to live like that every day, and then you sit in the subway, and there's like a whole code of behavior on the subway,
I know.
How long you can look at, how long you can stare.
I know.
And just people are so like compressed in there.
Like sardines.
And you know what? I mean, the my biggest complaint about these things is that you have people that walk in that stink, And, especially in the summer, that odor when someone doesn't take a shower 2, 3, 4 days, and it's just a stench, like the funk of 40,000 years. and you do, it's just like you feel like if there were flowers here, they would just die, like in the cartoons when someone walks by and they stink, the flowers die. Well, that's how I feel. And I mean, it's like a feeling where, I mean, a sensation when you smell someone like that. That and it's just like you want to throw up, and it's just like it makes you just want to like jump off the roof, It's like, this is the worst I can experience here, so let me just kill myself, not have to smell this anymore,
Let alone knowing bloody someone lets off a fart or something.
That's
even worse.
Yeah, I mean, people are fucking gross,
They don't want to hold it in because they don't give a shit.
Yeah,
like, I didn't do it. Isn't it funny? But when someone does let off a fart, everyone starts sniffing even more.
Not to miss out on anything.
No one continues to breathe normally or hold their nose, but they all take the big whiff first,
I know. I mean, the rudest thing is to fart in a closed car, I mean... Excuse me, but
which we all have been guilty of.
Yeah, and
including me.
Yeah, except I always give it away, because when I drive and I fart, I roll down the window, to be courteous. But then people are like, "Why is he opening the window at 30 degree temperature?" You have to be courteous,
And within a second, they're like, "Oh, okay, now we know." And everyone's like, "Oh man, did you have to really do that?"
Yeah, cut the cheese.
I know. Oh my god.
Yeah.
The two most unspoken of is your bathroom time doing number twos and farting.
Here we go to body function again. Okay, we better go get our guest. We'll be back after this.
All right.
For everything that matters.
I'm not European. I don't plan on being European. So who gives a crap if they're socialists? They could be fascist anarchists. It still wouldn't change the fact that I don't own a car.
And everything that does.
I've been in prison for 3 years. My dick gets hot if the wind blows.
You're listening to the Sam and Manu Show on PBS Talk Radio. For everything that matters.
I'm not European. I don't plan on being European. So who gives a crap if they're socialists? They could be fascist anarchists. It still wouldn't change the fact that I don't own a car.
And everything that does.
I've been in prison for 3 years. My dick gets hot if the wind blows.
You're listening to the Sam and Manu Show on PBS Talk Radio.
And we're back.
Yes, we are.
And we have our guest in the studio. And good morning to you.
How are you?
I'm fine. Here,
why
let's
don't you
get
introduce
your microphone.
Yourself?
Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Randy Tobin.
Yes.
Randy Tobin.
And Randy came to us all the way from Hollywood, which is practically down the street.
Yes, it is.
Long flight.
Yeah, but he made the trip, and that's good. So you're an actor,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And how long have you been one?
I've lived in Los Angeles for about 6 years now, five and a half.
Where did you move from?
I moved here from Ohio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, way out there in the middle.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I've been pursuing it real steadily for the last 5.5 years.
Really? So did you move out here especially because you wanted to be an actor and pursue an acting career?
Yeah, yeah, to do the acting thing.
Cool. So how does someone in so how does a kid from Ohio decide that he wants to be an actor?
I was one of those kids that in like junior high and elementary and high school, anytime there was a group project, I was always the nerd that was like, guys, okay, since we have to do a project, why don't we let's put it on film? Let's do it on tape.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit around at night drawing like pictures of the phases of the moon on poster board.
Yeah.
Let's just put it on tape. I got some ideas for some silly skits, and then we can just sit in the back of the class and they'll turn the lights down and then they'll watch us do our thing.
Yeah. So you actually made films on your own and stuff, like homemade films.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think that most filmmakers start off like that as itty bitty kids, and they're running around with a little film camera or something like that, and doing stupid little things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I wonder if it was Steven Spielberg when he was I had his brother dress up as his mother, or he dressed up his mother, and they played this mother and son, like Steven. Be a good
little boy. The mother always has to.
Something like that.
Yeah, totally.
The mother always has to deal with your craziness, you know.
My kids getting into her dresses and her makeup.
Yeah, you know.
Just the stupidity of.
Yeah, and every time you're like, you want to become a performer, she has to listen to you sing and act and all that stuff. What's that? A fire alarm? Oh no, that's my news phone, of course. So Randy. So what did you learn any acting at all? Did you go to acting school?
I didn't do acting school, but I did theater.
Okay.
Like once I got into college, I started doing theater.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And how old are you?
I'm just a bit over 30.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow,
so
you look young, man. Long life to you, man.
Well, it's this lighting in here in the studio. It's really, really favorable.
No, it's just that I'm always the oldest one in the room, it seems now. Didn't used to be like that, but
hey,
you know.
Hey, I tell eventually you, the lighting does a lot of justice to you sometimes.
Oh, it does? Thank you very much.
You look very good. So.
You know what? Go F yourself. You know, I mean, what is this? She decided to pick on me today, but that's fine.
No, not at all.
No, you do look good.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay. He's an attractive guy, isn't he?
Yeah, very handsome.
I'm going to turn
Randy
down the microphones.
Randy's an attractive guy.
Yeah, definitely. And you do seem like to be from the Southwest. The Midwest.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you've got the blonde hair and the light skin and that. Where in Ohio are you from?
I grew up in Central Ohio.
Central Ohio. Not a place we would know, huh?
I doubt it. And if you do, I would wonder why.
No.
I went to a small school called Mount Gilead High School.
Uh-huh. Mount Gilead.
Yeah.
Mount
I don't Gilead. Think we've heard of that one.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Why?
So, Randy, have you been able to be in any movies at all? Did you find any gigs?
Yeah, I've been real blessed. It's been a good 5 years and change that I've been here.
Yeah.
I started out within like a month and a half or so. I jumped onto a film. You know, I got cast in something. And
how did you find the casting call?
Somewhere online, I think.
Oh, okay.
Like at you know, one of the websites that
has
like job postings.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a multitude of websites that are available now.
Yeah, for
I
actors.
I think the most prominent one now is LA Casting, which is I've gotten a gig out of. I've gotten quite a few gigs from Actors Access.
Uh-huh.
And then like they have Now Casting, and they have and so many now.
Yeah.
You know.
Manu is an actress too, so
yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's I'm doing this now.
Yeah.
Why are you rolling your eyes? No, it's fun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she doesn't appreciate anything, you know. We'll bang it into her head that, yeah, you want to do radio.
Well, I'm good.
Yeah. So are any movies that we've heard about? Are they independent films?
I've done a lot of independent stuff.
Yeah.
I did a couple of scenes in a movie that came out into theaters last November, I think, called Harsh Times.
Uh-huh.
It was with Christian Bale and Freddie Rodriguez.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've heard of that film.
Yeah,
I never got to see it, but...
It came and went kind of fast from the theaters. But
it's unfortunate because the independents don't get as much exposure, you know. They always have it in those artsy theaters and stuff, you know, so...
Well, I saw it in the Los Feliz 3. Theater. I remember seeing it up there, and I didn't get a chance to go and watch it.
Oh, cool. Yeah. And did you have a major part? Or
No.
It takes a while to get to it, right? You have to build.
Yeah.
You know, people need to know you, and you have to have a body of work, you know.
Totally.
Yeah. So do you have anything coming up that's coming out anytime soon?
Yeah, I actually have a movie that's coming out on DVD on March 4th.
Oh, cool.
And what's that film?
It's called The American Poop Movie.
Oh, The American Poop Movie. Well, he's on the right show, right?
Right up our alley.
Yeah, we for some reason tend to talk about poop a lot, but we don't quite call it that way. But so The American Poop Movie. So tell us a little bit about this. I mean,
The American Poop Movie is basically about a guy that's just graduated from college, and he's a couple months out, and he can't get employers to return his phone calls after, you know, he's gone in for interviews and dropped off his resume, and he can't get the girl that he wants that he's been crushing on since like junior high, and then he's got a couple of friends that are just complete F-ups
really?
That are kind of keeping him in the neighborhood. And I play one of the friends that
they keep fucking up.
Yeah, I'm a mess. I'm just a mess in the movie.
Yeah.
So,
but that sounds like a major role in the movie, right?
Yeah. We shot for like 30 days, and I shot 25 or so of the 30.
Oh, really?
Days
Wow. That's quite a commitment there, because that often doesn't happen. So you must have had a really huge, you know, huge role there.
Yeah. So the American Poop Movie. Now, why is it called that, obviously?
It's called The American Poop Movie because I think after Schindler's List, Steven Spielberg directed the American Shit Movie. So it was a copyright thing.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I know. I'm like trying to think. Well, maybe he did, you know, but...
Yeah, it was real underground. No, it...
Well, maybe he filmed himself taking a shit. I don't know. That would be the American Shit Movie.
Yeah, and then his brother could come in with his camera and his mom's clothes. Wow, very strange. There are a couple scenes where poop happens.
I see. Okay.
Towards the beginning of the movie, me and another guy are janitors at our old high school, and somebody has taken a dump in one of the bathrooms, and the shit is everywhere. Like, there's none.
A mountain of shit.
There's mountains of it, and there's none in the bowl, like where the water is.
Yeah.
And this makes my character very mad. So.
And they actually show all that on camera? Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. You go to a movie, they show you a pile of shit, you know?
Yeah. And so to get back at whoever pooped all over the toilet and not in the toilet, I go on top of someone's desk, and then I poop on their desk to teach them. So So one whole day I'm standing on a desk like this here in the studio with my pants down, just hanging out, yeah. You know, 6 hours worth of doing some lines.
Wow.
Hanging out and hanging low, huh?
Yeah. Hanging out.
Sitting on the crapper for hours.
No, on a table.
Yeah. Oh, on the table. That's yeah, right. That's yeah. right.
Like yeah. up on yeah. a weird pedestal.
Yeah. I mean, my God.
You know what? Speaking of back in my army days, you know, we were living in barracks, and this one time we went into the, because the men and the women at this time shared the showers and, uh-huh. and the toilets. And so, oh my God, you know, some of the stuff I used to find. But this one particular day, I am not crapping about this. I walk into the, you know, the toilet, one of the toilets, mm-hmm. and I am not kidding. I've never seen such, I saw the biggest shit you could yeah. ever possibly imagine.
Really?
Like so huge. I mean, we're talking about at least a bucket.
Really?
I mean,
like 10 pounds easy.
Like I mean, a horse was in there.
And it was so amazing and so incredible and everything like that, that I had to do a shout out to the hall. Like, you gotta come and check this out. This is the biggest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah. That would go. You see, we already have a plot for the Australian shit movie.
Yeah, exactly. Could easily be a franchise.
Yeah, there you go. So, so the movie's coming out when? March?
It comes out March 4th.
March 4th?
Yeah, Tuesday.
On DVD?
It's coming straight to DVD. It's available for pre-order right now on Amazon and a couple other websites where you can go and...
So is it going to be available at Blockbuster and most of the independent film DVD stores and so on?
The two for sure right now are Blockbuster and Hollywood Video.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. And I'm sure Netflix will have it, and yeah, they have everything.
Yeah, yeah, hopefully Netflix will,
yeah.
will
jump
pick it up.
It
too.
They have
yeah.
just about everything. So that's cool. I mean, so you're excited about this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
So was this a film that you self-produced and you know, like, or were you just one of the main actors on the film?
I just came in as an actor.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
You probably want to direct too, right?
I don't know. I mean, not not right now.
Yeah.
But
it's yeah. like every actor wants to direct, which is just like, you know, everybody wants to be the boss, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You
know, no, I love acting. I love acting.
Yeah.
You know, and I love taking direction too, because it gives you just so many different ways to see things and... you know, like, because you might go in and perceive a character as being something, yeah. and so that's what you do. And then out of the blue, the director or casting director will say, well, this is what we're really looking for, and blah, blah, blah. And they give you a little bit more insight about the character and so yeah. on. Mm-hmm. You go like, oh. But then you have to be able to understand what he's saying and take the direction, mm-hmm. and then you just change. You can create two completely separate characters.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, is quite, yeah. it's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, movie making is intriguing, I think, to watch, you know.
Yeah.
And so you came out here all by yourself?
No, I'm actually, I'm married, so I convinced my wife to move out here too.
Oh, nice.
And wow, what does she do for? Is that a challenge?
A little bit, yeah.
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 Did she want to come, or was she reluctant?
Like, when we first started talking about it, I mean, it took a little bit of convincing.
Yeah.
But then, you know...
But she stood by you, huh?
Yeah, yeah. She's
amazing,
stuck it out.
See? Yeah, I mean, you don't find a lot of people like that, you know, that will stick by you
yeah.
and actually, you know, sacrifice for you, you know,
yeah.
in that. So that's pretty cool, you know. And you better not let her down, you know.
You
got to be a star, you know.
I need to start filling my pockets.
Yeah.
Start lining them with cash.
So what is she doing here since she had to come out here with you?
She's a teacher.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
My condolences, of course.
I don't know how she does it.
I don't know how she does it too. That's rough.
It's rough. We've talked about this. I used to teach, and it's rough in LA to teach. Where is she, in the public schools?
Yeah. She teaches over in Burbank.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, it's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's the same.
It's a little bit more tamer over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, actually, the school that she teaches at and the community that she teaches at is actually kind of like a small town.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, there's still 2,500 kids.
Yeah, and they bring in from all over the city anyway, you know. From
God, I've never heard of numbers like that.
Yeah.
You know, even when I was going to primary school that I went to, there was between the from the grade 1 to grade 7, there was like maybe 20 kids.
In the whole school.
In the entire school. Two classrooms, 20 kids.
Wow.
I know. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's amazing.
She really came from out of the boonies there.
I did.
You
know? I truly, truly did. Yeah. And then high school, we had to travel a couple of hours in town. And then even the school that I went to, I think we only had a couple of hundred, you know. Yeah. And we were coming from everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here, I mean, but here the classrooms are really big. I mean, you can't take control of them at all, you know. And
I mean, she's teaching science class, and there are 36 kids per class.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. How do they expect children to, you know, learn in that kind of environment? There's so many distractions in that. No wonder America has the lowest grading system ever.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but I mean, it's, you know, we've got problems. Yeah, we've got our own problems here with education. There's no doubt, you know. But,
heroes.
I mean, can you imagine one person controlling 35 wild kids? You know, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. So, but let's go back
to... I would want to punch them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'd be like...
So, we want to understand a little bit about let's call it a struggling actor's life. Do you so obviously you go to auditions a lot,
How
often do you think you go?
I mean, on average, probably anywhere from like 10 to 20 auditions per month.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
That's a lot, huh? That's a lot.
That is actually a lot. And if even if you do get between 10 and 20 auditions a month, that's good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I would imagine it is.
Because a lot of people that I know, you know, they'd be lucky to get two a month. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're pretty active at that.
Yeah. Right? I mean,
you're serious about your career.
Yeah. I work hard. I submit a lot. You know, I submit myself a lot and send off emails and packages and.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been at it for. I mean, not that long in the big picture, but I guess I'm lucky because sometimes now people kind of search me out or maybe they've seen something that I was in. So
yeah.
Look me up and try to email or whatever.
Yeah.
Plus American Poop movie on your resume is going to look excellent. You know?
it says something. I don't know if it's excellent, but it definitely says something.
Yeah. We got a comedian on our hands.
That's a funny movie. I mean, that's a funny title. Can you imagine that at the theater? You know, we're going to see the American Poop movie. Two tickets, please. At the box office.
Yes. I would go because I could just imagine the whole audience just rolling.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
I know, you know, but I mean, people make all kinds of movies, you know.
Yeah.
One win an Oscar, but who knows, you know, it might sell pretty well, you know.
And that's all we can hope for, really, if it sells well or rents out well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Hopefully a lot of people, you know, will go check it out.
Yeah. Are you going to be getting any royalties from this?
Hopefully.
Yeah?
Yeah. Was it a SAG film?
It was a
SAG-registered film?
It was, it was a non-union.
Non-union?
Yeah.
Oh, but you can still get royalties, right?
Yeah. Depending on, like, people's contracts or how things are set up. Or
exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
But, I mean, the entertainment business is awesome, you know. I mean, like, for example, if they want to take you for a new series, like a sitcom or something, right, they'll actually pay you money just to secure you for the show. But, I mean, the show may never air. You may never have to do a thing, and you still get a big chunk of money.
Well, how it works is, you know, they project a sitcom and then they film a pilot.
Right.
And a pilot is typically one episode. And they will pay you for that episode under SAG rules or AFTRA rules and so on.
Right.
And then if it does get picked up, then they sign a contract saying that you can, like, make 11 to 13 episodes for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you are contracted to that many episodes in accordance to, you know, SAG pays, you know, what SAG pays and so, because there's different levels of how much you get paid per, you know, what days you work, how many days you work, whether you're a day play or guest star or anything like that.
Right.
So there's always different, you know, areas. It's like literally gray areas. There's a lot of gray areas. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But the good thing about it is if it goes on air, the best show that I remember is Pepper Dennis. she made like 13 episodes, and it was supposed to be this huge thing, and it was huge advertising on the bus and on the billboards.
Who was that?
And
Rebecca Romaine.
Rebecca Romaine, yeah. And it aired once on Sunday night, and then again on a Monday night, and then after that, boom, it got cut because everyone hated it.
Yeah, nobody
and then,
watched.
And
it.
Then the dumb broad went on Jay Leno. And totally called her crew, you know, the crew, the grips and electricians, and in particular the background, as people that she didn't want to be associated with.
Really?
Yeah.
Rebecca Romaine?
Yeah.
She seems like so nice.
She really,
I'd be surprised.
She really did herself in, and then the show got cancelled out.
Really?
Now, they got all paid, you know, for that. You know, for the remainder.
I mean, right, yeah.
Even
they
though the shows don't get aired, they still got paid for the entire thing.
Right, right.
But you don't sit on your ass and they pay you.
Yeah, well,
you
they
still have to film.
Yeah, well, not necessarily. That's what I'm saying to you is that if you're, let's say you're a star, and I'm telling you, okay, I'd like to have you for the show. I will pay you money just so you won't commit to anything else.
Oh, now we're talking about Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie and so on.
Not necessarily. I mean, there's smaller smaller actors too. But I mean, if they want to secure you, then that's what they do.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, Randy. Did you have to have you ever had to do sex scenes or anything, love scenes?
Yeah.
You have.
Yeah.
Really? What, a sex scene?
Yeah, both.
Really?
Is there a difference between?
I don't know.
A love scene can be kissing and hugging and stuff.
Kissing and hugging, and sex scene
is like no clothes.
Yeah, I've done both.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you go nude in the movie? Did they see anything?
Yeah, probably part of my ass.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I've been nude.
Yeah? You have been nude in the movie too?
Yeah.
Well, would you like to share it with us? What's the name of the movie and everything so we can see it?
Well,
how about a reenactment of the movie? How about that scene?
Yeah, can you reprise your role?
Yeah, sure. No, it was that film that I did with Daniel Baldwin.
Scary one?
Yeah, but it was a torturous scene. So, you know, I'm naked, but, you know, it's like...
Yeah,
you're
it wasn't erotic.
No, it wasn't erotic.
Yeah.
But I did do a scene for an HBO episode called Man Child. I don't know if it's still on. I don't even know if it is continuing or something like that. But I did an erotica... James Bond dance scene for them naked.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but they did me up really nice. Like, they did all this body painting and like made me look all like absolutely gorgeous and stunning.
Yeah.
And I'm like dancing naked with all this crew watching in on me. Shake my ass.
So what's the name of the movie, Manu?
Dark Reality 2.
Dark Reality 2.
Yeah, and that'll be out probably mid this year.
Okay, so everybody go out and rent that, and I'm sure Netflix is going to run out of copies. Everybody wants to see my new nude.
I'm in the opening scene and one other scene.
Really?
So, yeah.
So you don't get killed in the first one, you get killed in the second one?
You know,
or just tortured, huh?
No, I do get killed in the opening scene.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So how do you show up again later?
Well, because you know how they do cut.
Flashback and stuff.
They don't film a film from A to Z.
Right.
You know, they film a film from X, Y,
but chronologically
S, T,
in the movie.
You know.
But in the movie, if you die in the beginning, how can you show up later? Okay, no explanation to that.
There is no explanation.
All right.
No.
And so tell me something. You did sex scenes. How did your wife take it?
The very first one was a little bit difficult because, of course, like after I shot it or whatever, I went home and I was like, rough day at work today.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I'm making out and I'm squeezing this girl's boobs and we're making out and she's like, oh, well, that's fun. And then, you know, 6 months later, once the movie finally comes out and her and I are watching it, and then that love scene comes on and she's like, what is it?
Yeah, you didn't tell me about that one, Randy.
No. We spent like 30 minutes and I was talking about her cup size and I was obsessing about the kissing and...
Yeah. She didn't like that.
Yeah. Well, no, she was okay with it. And
yeah.
She was like, oh, okay, well, maybe I remember.
Yeah.
Now you have to emphasize to Sam here because he totally believes that when we do this sex scene or erotica scenes and stuff, that you know, you can't help but get really aroused.
Right.
No, I didn't say that. Okay.
Yeah, you did.
For the sake of argument, okay, I said that.
Like, how can you not get aroused? How can you not get turned on?
Yeah.
That was your statement.
It sounds like something I would say.
And it's but it doesn't work that way. Oh. My God, we're spending an entire day doing the same thing over and over and over.
Yeah,
put
but
your
you
hand
don't...
here. Okay, lift your leg up a little bit. Okay, turn around a little bit. And you can be in some really awkward positions.
Right.
And
like they'd, twister.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So please emphasize that it doesn't necessarily mean that we're getting
yeah.
turned on.
Yeah, but you can't speak for him, you know. I mean, he's a man, you
I
know.
Am
and
a man.
Yeah. You see,
so sometimes I have to use duct tape.
Yeah.
Oh no.
No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. No, I've never gotten aroused during a romantic scene.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I mean,
you never know. There's always the first time, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm keeping.
You do it in one or two takes. Yeah, but no, I mean, this issue of your spouse, it comes up, you know. I mean, it's something you have to pay attention to when you're with an entertainer.
The first one was was definitely the hardest, but now it's at the point where, like when I was doing the poop movie, there was one whole day where I mud wrestled with strippers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at the end of the day, I called her.
Sounds
Gee,
like
that's
fun.
Tough work.
Exactly. And she's like, oh, wow, what a rough day. And I said, yeah, but it was 16 hours. It was the greatest day of my life, you know?
Yeah.
And now, like when she sees movies that I'm in, especially where I'm intimate with someone, she will be like, I don't know, honey, that girl's not hot enough.
She's helping you out.
She's
right?
helping me out a lot. She's like, okay, if you're gonna help out with the casting, make sure that the girl that you have opposite of you is hot. So now, you know, after the first little bump, which she was okay with anyways, but now she's
she's like into it. Like,
yeah, she wants the girl to.
So
be
she
really
wants.
Hot.
She probably wants Angelina Jolie to be opposite of you right now, right?
Totally, probably.
Yeah, she wouldn't mind. Yeah, give me the bucks. You can go with whoever you want. Just give me the money, you know.
Uh-huh. I know.
That's funny. So, okay. So let's sum up. Is there anything else you wanted to that you could think of that we should know about?
You have obviously you're up on IMDb.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm up on IMDb. You know, you can search Randy Tobin. I have videos up on YouTube.
Okay, right. Cool.
And then you can check out more videos and more pictures and fun stuff on MySpace as well.
Yeah. Randy Tobin, American Poop Movie, coming out March 4th on DVD. And,
Hollywood videos and Blockbuster.
Yeah. Are they going to have an HD version of this? Because I really want to see the detail on the poop there. You know? the whole movie is based around that. You know,
Already?
Give me a good view of the poop.
I have a question. What did they use to imitate poop?
They didn't. He actually took a shit on the desk.
Yeah, no, right.
That would be ideal.
I ate a lot of Chinese food that day. And I wish I could have done that.
Yeah.
I can pee pretty easily, but yeah, I couldn't quite bring the poop. I don't know what they used. What they did was they went in after, because I really don't think that anybody wanted to come in and like work right around my ass while I was sitting on my desk.
No, and have to smell all that stuff either.
Yeah, not at all. So they went in later and did like CGI and they added some stuff in.
Yeah.
But it looks ridiculously funny.
Yeah. So it's animated shit, man.
Yeah,
so. Well, wonderful. So do you have a website or should we just go to IMDb?
You can go to IMDb or you can check me out on MySpace, Randy.
MySpace and YouTube.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got the usual outlets for artists. Everybody's on MySpace now.
I know, isn't it huge?
Yeah. It's just amazing. That, you know, MySpace, like when I go on those pages, it makes me nuts because it's like people put just about anything on that page. You don't know where to look first. You know, a music starts and then sound effects start and you don't know what's going on, you know. So I wish it'd be like, you know, if more people started going to Facebook or something. I mean, that place is classy, you know. Your profile, it's like you can still upload videos and everything, but it's not like all over the place, you know.
So, I don't know. I'd have to check it out.
Yeah, check out Facebook.
I'm on Facebook, too.
Are you?
And my MySpace is really simple.
Yeah.
It's not like all pimped out with like the dancing smiley face icons.
And 48 different backgrounds.
I know. That's what I can't handle.
It's too much. And it's sometimes, like even with DSL or whatever, sometimes it's still like
MySpace is the slowest site to load. Yeah. I mean, it's just... sometimes I just give up on it. You know, people send me emails and they have a link to MySpace and it doesn't come up.
Well, so, Randy, I will certainly look you up and everything like that.
Yeah, cool.
Now, do you have an agent that you're working with, or are you just simply working for yourself right now, or a manager or so on?
I'm not doing it on my own. Actually, just like right before the holiday, right before the winter holiday, I signed on with an agency.
Okay, cool.
But I still... You know,
you still do
push
it.
Yeah. And I guess the way I look at it is, you know, I mean, I hope that they can open up doors that I can't get myself into.
Yeah.
Like bigger projects. Or
Yeah.
You got to have people that are inside the business, you know.
Yeah. Well, they have a different list of breakdowns and so on. I mean, what we see on Now Casting and LA Casting and Actors Access is, you know, you can tell it's been segregated from the real deal breakdowns, you know, like the big blockbuster films and so on.
And
the major episodics.
Yeah. Well, so I think we can conclude that being an actor is a hard way to make
a
living, right?
It is a very hard
way. Because you're spending 99% of your time looking for work, you know, so it's...
That's most of it.
And then when you do go to auditions, you have to, you know, you have to say, well, at least I made it here, but then there's also this next step that you have to go through.
And you deal with all this rejection and you know, it's tough. Mm. It's tough. It can't be easy, you know, and you don't have a steady income, you know, so it's...
I know their feeling.
So, so I can see where you would lack a certain amount of security, you know, in this lifestyle. But you chose to do that. That's what you feel you need to do. And we wish you all the best.
I'm
sure you'll graduate from poop movies to maybe fart movies next. I don't know. But you know, it sounds great. And we wish you all the best.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
And we always like to find new talent and everything, you know. So we wish you all the best. You kind of remind me of Donald Sutherland, you know. I mean, have you ever been told that?
A couple people have said that.
Yeah, young
version.
Really remind me. Yeah, when he was young, like in the Dirty Dozen. Do you remember that movie, The Dirty Dozen?
I do remember
You're probably too young for that, right? Or do you remember?
I mean, I know of it.
Yeah. It had, I mean, back in like the 70s, they had like huge casts in the movies, and they were like all-star casts, you know. So I mean, that movie had Telly Savalas and Charles Bronson and Donald Sutherland and Clint Eastwood was in it. So that was a time when they'd put a lot of stars together, you know. So Donald Sutherland was really young at that age. I think maybe even younger than you are now.
That's when the actors weren't so greedy.
So
they could afford to put a whole ensemble together.
I know. But now you don't get that anymore.
No.
Well, you know, like something like Ocean's 13, you know, you get like a few stars and it feels nice, you know.
But the thing is, you got George Clooney and Brad Pitt and all those others, they're putting in their 2 cents as well.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know what I mean? So it's a different workings again on Ocean's 13. Yeah. I think that's probably... maybe the last or latest films that really do have an ensemble.
Yeah, it's not a...
You don't see it.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
You don't happen.
Anymore.
It doesn't happen anymore, except for Ocean's 13.
Yeah. Or some... Yeah, some
I
of these
I wonder if
movies,
they're going to do an Ocean's 14.
Probably. Until they beat it to death. Okay, Randy Tobin.
That is Rocky.
So, Randy, thank you for coming in. We wish you all the best. And take care, and we'll put Randy's link on our website so you can check him out. And please, if you have a movie and you need someone who seems serious about his acting, give him a call.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Great. And we'll be back right after this.
Wow.
Broadcasting live from high atop the BBS Talk Radio building, you're listening to the Sam and Manu Show.
Indeed.
I know,
Sam and
Olivia.
Manu.
Oh, my Olivia.
Yeah, we played Manu a little Australian song.
Yeah, she's hot.
She's such a good singer.
She was such a cutie pie, too, when she really was young. Remember Grease?
Yeah, Grease, yeah, and everything. And, but
skinny
she had breast cancer, right?
Yeah, she did. And I think she had that surgery, the mastectomy. Yeah.
Can you imagine how terrible that must be, you know? I mean, it's like I think if nothing else makes you feel like a woman is having, you know, your breasts.
So you can shake them around.
Okay, I'm going home. I can't deal with this.
I know,
but, no. No, I mean, you know, it's like, I think that's really what reminds you you're a woman, and at least outside, you know.
Yeah.
And then to have to lose that. I can imagine it's devastating.
I had a friend of mine that was, you know, diagnosed with breast cancer, and within eight months she had a full mastectomy and she passed away.
So really? In spite of it, huh?
Yeah, 8 months. Just wow. That's all it took, 8 months.
Jeez, that's scary, you know?
Yeah.
And it changes your life, I would imagine, forever. I mean, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It was pretty rough.
Yeah.
She was a close friend of mine. She was one of my first friends that I had met up in Seattle.
Yeah. Do you ever worry about breast cancer?
Yeah, you know, actually, I was just doing my own breast examination this morning.
Uh-huh. Was William helping you?
No. I was at my own place.
Oh, I see. Okay. Some kind of examination.
No, he forgets what he's doing when he's doing that.
Oh, I see. Well, it's a way to get it started, you know.
Yeah,
let me check your breast for cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you go, no, William, you don't check breast cancer with your mouth on my nipple.
No.
It's not how you check it.
No, but I mean, I do it almost every month now because of my age and the fact that I haven't had any children.
Yeah.
And because of that main thing, the fact that I haven't had any children. That increases your chances of getting breast cancer.
Really?
And
you think it's because you don't get to use all the equipment there for the lactation?
I'm not sure.
No.
I'm not sure. But, you know, I would think that, you know, there's all those ducts and vessels and whatever goes on there, the glands and so on. If they've never been activated, then...
Yeah.
You could almost visualize that it's never been filtered out
or released, or something, or other, right? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So and, you know, I think that's why the chances, you know, the risks are higher for women who choose not to have children.
Yeah.
Well, not that I really choose, but anyway.
Yeah. I don't know, because I'm wondering sometimes if guys that don't, like, ejaculate enough in their lives get increased... chance of
and that is true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of prostate cancer.
That is correct as well.
Yeah. So if you're if you're worried about that, go out there and celebrate jerking off.
Yes. And, no kidding.
And do it to your heart's desire. Just make sure your dick doesn't fall off.
Yeah. Okay. Hairy palms.
Yeah, or go blind or whatever it is. But
isn't that a horrible saying?
Yeah.
Though?
You know, like, but. Yeah, and especially to kids, you know? I mean, for crying out loud, you discover your genitals, you start playing with them, and then they tell you you're going to go blind or you're going to have hair on your hands. And
like, stop doing that, Johnny.
God, yeah.
Grow hair on your hands.
I know. But you know what? I mean, I've never had this, but can you imagine, like, being a parent and walking in on your small child while they're masturbating? I mean, I would, like, totally freak if I saw something like that. You know?
I'd be like, whoops, sorry.
Did you ever get caught masturbating?
No, I don't think so.
Never in your life?
No, I don't think so. I remember the first time I discovered, you know, the O.
Yeah.
And it was through water. You know, I think every woman out there
yeah.
will know what I'm talking about.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Spreading your legs in the bathtub.
Yeah.
And letting the water just...
But because I grew up Catholic... after that, you know, because at a certain age, a woman's, you know, down there changes dramatically, literally overnight.
Right.
And so it was at that point when I discovered that everything started changing, and then I thought God was punishing me. Like, and then I remember visiting my sister, you know, crying and like, oh my God, I don't know, I've been doing this, and I think God's punishing me. you know. And she goes, no, it's nature.
Yeah, that's
going
to be scary.
It
huh?
was. It yeah. scared the hell out of me.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you thought you were bleeding because of your masturbation?
The change in the bleeding, I thought yeah. that was, yeah, as a result of,
oh my God.
You know,
so you thought
sexual
you totally,
feelings.
Yeah, you
maybe.
Thought you mutilated your vagina pretty much.
Yes, like, I did.
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
Yeah, yeah,
to
I
feel
was horrified.
As a kid, you know?
I was horrified. And I remember discovering it because I'd watched Blue Lagoon.
Oh, yeah?
Right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of... interesting. What's he really doing? What's she doing? What's he doing?
Wow.
And that's what started like prompting, you know,
really?
Things in my head.
How old were you?
I was like 15, 16
really?
Years old. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was a late bloomer.
Yeah.
A late bloomer. And I'm glad too.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, I mean, even when you start earlier, I mean, you never really get into what it's about until you're like 16, 17, and then
yeah.
you really understand it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can imagine two 13-year-olds, you know, playing around or whatever, but it's not the same. You know, I mean,
no.
it's still child play. You know,
yeah,
although
it
it's an amazing child play. I mean, as I told you before, I was a
oh,
professional
yeah,
doctor
right,
when I was a
right.
kid. I was examining every girl on the street. You know,
and you used to go and visit your buddy yeah. all the time just to see his mother be naked
yeah,
in the bathroom.
Yeah, the mother is a whole different ballgame.
See, I remember these things.
You do.
Yeah.
And I know it's embarrassing, but you know, you have to tell it. You know.
oh my gosh! Well.
I know. So.
I remember watching our farm dogs get it on together. Like, what are they doing? Like, oh my God! Why are they stuck together? Have you ever seen two dogs mate?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And they get stuck.
And they
together?
Get stuck because of
I'd
the
be like,
knob.
What the hell is that?
Yeah, he you gets know? Like a knob at the end of at the edge of his penis, and they just can't, you know. Yeah, because I guess nature wants to make sure that he ejaculates before he pulls out.
I know.
You know.
I think that's the only animal that that occurs.
I don't know.
I haven't known any other animals.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think
we'd
there's
have
some
to...
animals with hook-shaped penises, you know. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh
just,
yeah. You're right. Well, you know a bee, right? The bee follows the queen bee,
uh-huh.
so to speak.
Right.
You know, the female bee.
Right.
And he comes in, right, lands on her,
uh-huh.
and he ejaculates, right?
Uh-huh.
But when he ejects himself or comes to the big O,
uh-huh.
he explodes, right? And his penis
uh-huh.
gets stuck inside of her.
Really?
And so, therefore, she can't get impregnated by another bee.
Really?
It's because his penis is stuck yeah. while he explodes
so,
and dies
but,
to ground.
But if that's true, though, then the whole hive is going to die because the queen is the only one that can actually have offspring, right?
But only the, you know, one bee impregnates her and so on.
Yeah, but I would
imagine... I'm not sure how that works, but I just
I think
remember.
She gets impregnated every day.
No.
I think
no,
so.
No, I don't think so. No. I don't know.
She has to pretty much create the whole hive.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, she
does.
You know, I mean, she gives birth to all the bees.
Well, hey, if we want to learn about the birds and the bees in animal nature, all you have to do is go to YouTube
uh-huh.
and type in Dr. D.R. Tatiana, T-A-T-I-N-A, I think it's just one A,
uh-huh.
N, Dr. Tatiana. And she's this hot, saucy blonde, uh-huh. very sexy body and what so. And
oh, yeah, you sent me the link,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and she's a, you know, biologist, whatever you want to
yeah.
call them. And she talks about animal sex life.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's how I know about the bees.
Yeah.
So,
maybe we should...
And you know the marine iguanas?
Yeah.
They actually have two penises. Did you know
iguanas
that?
Iguanas have two penises?
Yeah, and so... So
that's for stereo sex.
Yeah, exactly. So apparently they actually masturbate themselves, and then when they reach a female, if there's another male on there, they push him off. But in the meantime, because they've been masturbating, when they mount her, they eject immediately, and then that's it.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a few different video clips
yeah.
on animal sexual behaviors and
yeah.
so on. And it's so funny. She is so funny to listen to. because she uses all the words and everything like that. Uh-huh. But, you know, you're watching animals, but you can tell it's also referring to the man as
yeah,
well.
I know. And you know what? It actually sounds pretty good even without watching it. Let's play a little clip.
Oh, you found one?
Yeah, I found one. So this is Dr. Tatiana talking about the sex life of animals.
Take the marine iguana. Male iguanas have two penises, and a young male can often be seen masturbating one or the other of them when a pretty girl iguana goes by. But in the case of the iguana, this is more than self-gratification. When a small male mounts a female, he's often rudely interrupted by a bigger fellow who shoves him off.
Yeah.
Playing with himself beforehand primes the pump.
See?
Allowing him to reach primes the pump more quickly and reduces the chance of interruption.
Oh my gosh.
And they're showing two iguanas here fucking and stuff, and the third guy comes in and pushes him off.
Oral sex is another practice that's quite widespread. Among fruit flies, a male woos a female by ardently vibrating his wings. If she is receptive, he licks her genitalia before gently spreading her wings and mounting her.
Yeah, they're showing
them
fucking
her. But again, oral sex can serve a useful purpose.
See?
Among midwife toads, the male grabs the female from behind and then starts tapping her genitalia with his toes. This curious and one imagines pleasurable
foot
activity stimulates her to release her eggs.
I know. So, yeah, it's...
Among hedge sparrows, the male pecks the genitals of a potential mate. Apart from being good fun, this persuades her to expel the sperm of previous lovers. And here's one now, pecking away at a girl's privates, and it looks like she's enjoying it. Look at that tail wag. Can he persuade her to dump the sperm of her previous lover? Yup, there it goes, and now it's his turn.
Wow.
Holy moly, that's what I call a quickie.
That's pretty good, huh? That's funny.
I know. She's a crack. She's a crack.
Yeah,
so...
I know. She's got sex advice to all creation. I wonder what that is. Did you ever listen to this?
No. I've only seen a couple of it, and there was another one about the elephants with... Oh, I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, about penis sizes of animals.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
where size does matter.
Yeah, for all those of you who haven't figured it out yet... Size does matter, especially when men view their genitalia as weapons, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Mine's a machine gun.
Yeah.
Oh, mine's just a little pipsel.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd if I were a woman and I'd be stuck with a small penis man, I'd be pretty disappointed, you know? I mean, what? You got to spend the rest of your life with this, you know? And... Yeah, I mean,
see, that's when you start introducing, you know, various sex toys and so on.
Yeah.
Just to, you know,
Can you imagine having to put on a fake dick
in order
to please your woman? I mean,
that's the problem. It's like, okay, you're not getting pleased.
Yeah.
And so you bring out the old whopper, right? And then he gets all offended, like, what? Like, mine isn't good enough for you. Like, no, sweetie, I'm sorry. Use it.
Yeah. Well, you should never go into bed with
someone.
You know,
I have actually come across that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, well.
And then I went through this whole process of pretending that he was the best that I had. Oh, God. Yeah.
And you ended up what? Getting rid of him?
Hell yeah. Of course I did.
You got rid of him. So watch out for Manu, you know, you better please her or she's going to shoot you.
Yeah, I'm a trained killer too. Oh my God.
I need a quick break, so let's take a break. We'll be right back.
All righty.
You're listening to California Dreaming with your hosts Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.
The end.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I was going with my browser. I switched back to the previous page and started playing again. We're very professional here, in case you haven't noticed.
It's all in fun.
Yeah, and well, nobody called in today. Our number is 866-515-6977, but maybe I just won't give it out anymore. We'll wait until we have millions before somebody decides to call in. But, you know, regardless, I mean, we've got plenty to say and plenty to talk about.
So
that's okay. Well, and you know that most people do not listen live. We have like a lot of people downloading because, you know, many people can't turn us on during this time of the morning, or, you know, they're on the other side of the world.
Yeah, that's what we figured out. Yeah.
You know, I mean, on the other side, it's nighttime now, and so a lot of people are downloading, and it's a good feeling. You know, it's a good feeling when, you know, people are actually downloading the show to their hard drive.
Yeah.
And listening to it. You know.
Yeah, I know.
It's amazing.
I know.
So.
Well, it was. I just went back on site, and it was Britney Spears that we're going to be showing up to the courts today.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So okay, so downtown LA. If you want to see Britney Spears, get in your car and drive right now.
Yeah,
she'll
exactly.
probably be getting out of there soon.
Like hell, hell.
Otherwise, we just we'll have to trust the paparazzis to get.
I was
the
just reading. She has not seen her boys since January 3rd.
Really. Since that incident?
That's sad, yeah.
Wow.
I'm actually finding that really sad. No wonder she's like gone all crazy
intense. I mean, can you imagine when people start viewing you as crazy? I mean, it's like your whole world collapses.
Yeah. She did go to UCLA Medical Center in the psych ward there. That's where she spent her time.
Yeah. That's terrible.
And her lawyer, that she was working with, doesn't necessarily want to work with her, or I think he petitioned to not be her case lawyer anymore.
Oh yeah.
And so on. So
it was something that he initiated. She didn't fire
it,
him
it was
or anything?
Something that he initiated. Yeah.
Okay, so it's not like she fired him or anything.
No, no. It's like, oh my God, what's going on?
Yeah.
But Britney's father is there with her today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's hope.
Yeah, she needs someone to watch over her.
I don't know if that's a great idea. Yeah. No, she needs someone.
Yeah, she needs that supervision, you know.
She needs someone that she can trust, or a trustworthy person.
Yeah, yeah. She can't.
What about her mom?
She can't continue like this.
I never really hear much about her mother. What's the deal there? Do you know?
No, I don't.
No,
I don't. They
you hear about the father and the sister.
Well,
but
no,
nothing
but
about the mom.
No, she's been in the news quite a bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, she has. She has.
I know her little sister is prancing around with a little belly.
Yeah.
With her boyfriend all happy and glad.
That's terrible.
So,
man.
I wonder if what that's going to lead to. And what, she's only 16?
Yeah, I mean, jeez. You know, give me a break, you know. But, you know, before we left, I wanted to tell you that there was actually a bird flew in here yesterday. I think it was an Australian bird. And it mentioned the name Tasha. Does that mean anything to you?
What?
The name Tasha.
Yeah.
Yeah, who was Tasha?
Tasha, she's a very good friend of mine back in Sydney.
Tasha is?
Yeah, Natasha.
Oh, I thought Tasha was an animal.
Well, see, okay.
That bird wasn't clear enough, I guess.
No, no. Well, okay. If you're wondering what the other Tasha is, the other Tasha was a flying fox that I reared from a little pup.
Really?
Yeah.
A fly fox?
A flying fox.
Flying fox.
Yeah, you know, the fruit
What's
bats,
that?
The flying fox.
Yeah,
it's the same
That's
animal.
What I was picturing, a bat or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
Gorgeous little face and
really?
Everything like that. Yeah.
And you reared one? You
yeah.
raised it?
Well, at the house that I was living in back in North Queensland, I had a mango tree, this massive mango tree in the backyard.
Uh-huh.
And in the city, mind you. So, so the flying foxes used to come in and, you know, eat the mangoes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, it's also their breeding season. And so the flying foxes are a mammal, and they give birth to, you know, little pups. They call them little pups.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the most cutest little things. They're little pink, little hairless little things with wings,
yeah.
You know. And like that little pink dragon that you've seen in cartoons or
uh-huh.
something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought of that pink dragon.
Yeah.
So anyways, I just remember hearing this screaming, and I went downstairs and I'm feeling around the ground because it was really dark.
Uh-huh.
And this bloody flying fox, little pup, grabbed onto my finger and the bastard would not let go.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, okay. So I'm calling up wildlife and I'm like, well, I have this bat that's just, you know, hung onto my finger here, and went into the wildlife and we got the pup to release its teeth because they have curved teeth.
Oh.
So you know, usually when the mums give birth, they put their wings out in the hope to catch the pup.
Right.
And then they pull their wings together, and then the pup latches onto the teats. And they hook there, and they stay there.
Really?
I mean, they're just like you know, like, I don't know, forceps or something like that. Yeah. And anyway, so I ended up rearing this pup from a little bitty thing. And I watched the hair grow, and I watched the ears grow, and the wings. And I had her for almost 2 years. I've got some great photos of her.
Really? We'll put it on the website, maybe.
Oh, she's absolutely gorgeous.
So that's Tasha for you.
Tasha.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. That's a little story. I got a few. I got a few quite amazing animal stories because of my, you know, farm living.
Yeah, I'm sure, but you'll have to save them for another
time. I'm going to save them. Yeah. I will save them.
I'm sure you have a lot of farm stories.
Yeah, I do, including some pigs. No. Oh my god.
That's funny. Yeah, pigs that eat shit, right?
Yeah. Shit-eating pigs. I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So if you go to India, go to Goa, and just you got to have that experience.
Yeah.
I know if I did, that's where I'd be going.
Oh yeah.
Like, hello, little piggy. I got something for you. Bombay, here we come. Oh well.
That's funny.
It is, huh?
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's animals are funny. I find animals to be extremely. Funny, I think.
Well, they're entertaining. They're all entertaining.
Yeah.
I think, no matter what they are. My God.
I know.
I have these two little fish at home. You know, the fighter, Siamese fighter fish?
Yes.
Well, they call them betas.
Uh-huh.
And I have them in separate jars.
Right. So they don't kill each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So every now and then I was like, oh, come on, guys. That'll get feisty. So I put the jars together, and then you see their gills flare up, and, you know, the colors change, and you see them all, like, staring at each other, like, I'm going to eat you. I'm going to eat you.
I'd imagine it'd be pretty exciting to watch them actually trying to fight and kill each other. You know, I mean, that would be an interesting thing.
I don't think I'd enjoy that. I wouldn't know. It's just like cockfighting and...
No, it's not the same. It's fish. But yeah, I mean, look, the end result would be terrible. But,
yeah, it's the same with the end result. Yeah.
But that's nature, you know.
Speaking of cockfighting, one of the baseball players in New York, I think, a baseball player from the New York Yankees, was caught... you know, entertaining himself with cockfighting.
Really?
Yeah, being one of the fighters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow. Like, yeah, so.
Great. So we have animal abusers now that are athletes.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's very nice.
And along with steroid use athletes as well. What's his name? Cummins?
Vic.
Clemens?
Oh, who are you talking about?
That baseball player that had to go to court. For steroid abuse, steroid use.
Yeah, something
Clemens,
like that.
I think it was, something like that.
Roger Clemens.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right.
But that wasn't him, was it, with the cockfighting?
No, it wasn't him.
It's somebody else.
It was somebody else.
We don't want to defame anybody.
No.
So, okay, so Manu, that's another day.
No. Well, I got to go to a job anyway.
Yeah. And we're going to say goodbye. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. As always.
Yes.
And we're going to leave you with a song by Cliff Richard. Do you remember Cliff Richard?
I do.
Okay. And this is for Don, because he loves Cliff Richard. And it seems like not many people do. But,
Hey, we have a caller.
We have a caller?
Wow.
Okay, well, we'll take it real quick.
Let's take it. Yeah, see who it is.
Yeah. Hi, you're on the air.
Same on my news. This is Greg.
Hey, Greg. How's it going?
I know I'm catching you at the end of the show, but
I did want
to mention, Manu had brought up the fact that it was Pedro Martinez. Was it this cockfighting ring?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pedro Martinez.
Now,
Pedro.
I do want to make a very clear point. He's a professional athlete, and he shouldn't be, you know, at these type of events just for aesthetic reasons. However, he was in I think it was Mexico. He was out of the country, and cockfighting there is not illegal, so he was doing nothing illegal.
I see. Okay. All right. So but it's still more an ethical thing, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where you probably just don't want to be there anyway, and especially if you're a guy of his status.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not good for the reputation.
No. Well, I know it was certainly plastered all over the papers and everything like
especially
that.
Especially after the Michael Vick incident with the dogs and stuff, you know. I mean, I think we've become a lot more sensitive to this, you know.
Yeah, but to be certain, one has to draw the distinction between Michael Vick being completely illegal and doing things blatantly against the law, and Pedro Martinez in an area that probably ethically is wrong, but was definitely
but
not
was not illegal.
Law.
Yes, yes, okay.
Well, down
and
there,
yeah, it's an important distinction. Greg, thank you so much for clarifying that for
us.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Okay, so, and by the way, Greg, you're going to be on tonight at 6 o'clock, which is 9 o'clock Eastern Time, with your Barbecue Central show.
Is that right?
That's right.
And we're we're looking forward to that. So everybody tune in, and we'll see you tomorrow. Take care, Greg. Okay, Manu, and that is it. And we're going to say goodbye with Cliff.